This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's Off and Show. We're on the team at 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And, of course, we are now live on iHeartRadio. And tune in as well. A double dip for our top story today, but we only need one man to do it. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Stephen Goff is the soccer writer for the Washington Post. We've had him on the show before, but my friend Stephen Goff, we have never had you on to discuss the Commander Stadium. An update coming from an unlikely place. Have you ever partnered with Nikki Javala on a story before?
That is a great question. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, there's a first time for everything. I mean, someone's got to keep Nikki company. 48 left the beat, so that sucker left her out all on her own. You guys did a great job answering one of the key questions that I have really been trying to ask, frankly, everyone who's covering this story and anybody that I know that has information, which is the mayor's office, and to back it all the way up here for the audience, obviously, we are bearing down on the July 15th imposed deadline by the mayor's office and the Commanders where their exclusive terms or the exclusivity in the term sheet that they signed expires. July 15th is that drop dead date. They are claiming, as city council ponders the Commander's stadium deal at RFK, whether or not, or they are claiming that if there's delays past that, that the stadium can't be done in time. 2030 is the season they would like to open. And then they also, obviously before 2030, would like to get a bid in for the 2031 Women's World Cup, which is where Steven enters the equation. And my question has always been, Steven, is that a real deadline or is that a bargaining chip? That is the question you and Nikki sought to answer. What did you find?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, yeah, certainly a bargaining chip, and they would like to get things done sooner the better, you know, for the purpose of an NFL season at home and a new stadium in 2030. But, you know, in terms of it threatening the possibility of hosting Women's World Cup games in 2031 and also the Rugby World Cup, also in 2031, that they have to get it done now. That's doesn't seem completely accurate. You know, there's a risk, of course, the longer it goes on, you have to take into consideration environmental delays, construction delays. There's always delays, right? And so the farther you push this, the greater risk there is of losing out on certain dates. But yeah, there does seem to be some time to work this out politically in the right way and still be able to open for NFL season 2030 and remain in contention for international sporting events.
You noted in the story that FIFA has in the past said, okay, we will grant you this bid and you can win the bid with a stadium that does not exist yet. I mean, on a much larger scale, like the Men's World Cup in Qatar, like they built that literally in the middle of the desert out of nothing. There was no infrastructure there. There was a longer runway on that as well, and that was fraught with issues, but we don't have to go down that path right now. For FIFA's purposes, for the actual pressure of, because obviously like 2030 is before 2031. So from a timeline standpoint, the football season is more important, but FIFA wants to feel confident if they're going to give a bid to a city or a part of a bid to a country that includes a significant piece in a city, that the stadium is going to be ready. So what kind of confidence do they need to be able to give FIFA in terms of a timeline that won't affect the U.S.'s ability to get that 2031 World Cup?
Yeah, no, there's no set date when a stadium has to be up and running for it to host World Cup games, whether it's men or women. You know, again, obviously you want it done sooner the better, and you want to have you need to conduct events there. It's not going to be and just finish it up and play your first event in the World Cup. So, yeah, I mean, you want a few months of a runway to show that it's ready to go. And FIFA takes over stadiums for World Cups. You know, if, for example, MetLife Stadium is hosting the 2026 World Cup as well as the championship game, FIFA takes over the stadium, a couple months before the tournament actually starts. It has to be ready for those types of things. The guidelines from FIFA for the Women's World Cup 2031 show that the host country, which is all but certain to be the U.S., has to have eight stadiums in the bid, five of which already exist. And so that's your starting point. And if one of the eight or more than eight, it has to be at least eight, is an incomplete or just conceived stadium in Washington, that's fine, because there's lots of stadiums in this country that are ready to go from day one.
Stephen Goff, reporter for the Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So maybe this is wishful thinking as a DC resident, Stephen, but I would think that we would be in heavy contention to host the final in 2031. Brand new stadium. They obviously, as has much been bantied about, the 2026 World Cup that is coming next year for the men is not coming to D.C. at all because of the current stadium situation. And we know that, like, for instance, Mark Ein has been public, and he was part of the bid committee, to say, like, if we had had a game here, like, we would have also hosted massive fan fests. And, like, there's a huge amount of missing revenue for the city that is involved in that. So, one, is that wishful thinking, or is that, like, a very realistic possibility of the final? And two, as the mayor's office and the commanders make a pitch to city council on the economic viability of the stadium, how real is the economic impact of hosting a Women's World Cup final in 2031 in the United States?
Yeah, no, to host the final or to host the opening game of the tournament, a stadium has to hold at least 65,000. And no coincidence, the new commander's stadium is suggested to be at least 65,000. So they will meet or plan to meet that standard. And then you get into, where do you want to host a final? Now, traditionally, World Cup finals around the world are held in a capital city, but, Washington's not automatic by any means because you have so many major cities and major stadiums in this country. So, for example, Los Angeles has hosted 1994, 1999, and 2003 World Cup finals, men and women. 2026 will be in New York at MetLife Stadium. For 2031, it would, if there's a stadium plan and it's part of the bid, Washington would certainly be in contention to host the final. It's no slam dunk because New York and LA will both have had experience hosting the final. You would certainly think Dallas would try to get in on that too, with the Jerry Jones venue. So, yeah, there's a lot of competition. Washington would certainly move high up the list. But there's other games, too. I mean, if you don't get the final, you could get a semifinal. You could get the opening game. You could get, you know, a U.S. match in the group stage. There's a lot out there to get, and it's not a championship game or bust by any means.
So with that, there's always a ton of consternation about the economic impact of these types of tournaments.
Right, right.
What realistically is the economic impact to, you know, and I guess, you know, the mayor's office is going to have one number.
Sure.
Some like Andy Zimbalist, who I'm sure you're familiar with his work,
yeah.
When the Economist, like he's going to have a different number.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you, like, from what your research is on these types of things, as someone who's covered many World Cups, men's and women's around the world, like, how real is the economic impact that city council should be considering here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an economist. I don't know. I'm not an expert on these things, but certainly there is an economic impact because of the number of people, the number of officials, the number of sponsors, teams staying here, hotel nights, transportation, food. It's a lot. It depends on how many games you have. Also, the men's tournament and the women's tournament are different. I think a women's World Cup here, most of your fans are going to be domestic. Still means people have to travel and stay in different cities, but there's not as much long-term foreign travel for the women's game as there is in the men's. It's just part of the evolution of the women's game. It's getting bigger, but it's not as big as the men's yet. So you have to weigh that as well. It's hard to put a number on it. It depends on how many games you get too. I mean, if you're hosting six games stretched out over 4 weeks, people are coming and going. And so there is an economic impact, no doubt what that number is. I think you would get a different number. You get 10 different numbers from 10 different people.
All right, last thing on this topic, Stephen, and then I would also like to ask you about the U.S. men's team's appearance in the Gold Cup final over the weekend. So we'll go two for one here with Stephen Goff of the Washington Post. There have been the occasional rumble about a partnership of some sort between the Washington Spirit and the Commanders on something with the practice facilities and the stadium, because Magic Johnson is the common link in both ownership groups. And we know that Michelle Kang is an aggressive businesswoman, saying that in a complimentary type of way. Have you heard anything as these latest plans have started to unfold of whether the Spirit are looking for a new full-time stadium, a training facility that's not in Loudoun County, where, all due respect to folks in Loudoun County, it's just very far from where they play, that the Spirit have been a part of any of these conversations around the RFK site?
Yeah. Well, start with the training facility. Right now, the Spirit leases DC United's training site in Leesburg. The location is one thing, but the bigger issue is just to have your own space. And I think at some point, Michelle Kang will build her own training facility. It's kind of ridiculous right now. DC United's place, it's DC United, it's the Washington Spirit, and it's DC Power FC, a new women's team, which DC United has a part ownership. They're all crammed into one little building. It's kind of silly. So I think ultimately the Spirit will find a place of their own, but you gotta find the right place, and you gotta commit the money to it and, start that project up. So yeah, I think that'll happen at some point. I mean, the Kang and the Commanders have had a decent relationship over the last few years. I remember seeing Jason Wright, at Spirit Games and in Michelle Kang's suite. So there always has been a communication there. The Spirit leases or rents out Audi Field for their home games. DC United owns the stadium. There have been some rumblings about the Spirit not being perfectly happy with the situation there, and that DC United has put up a hard bargain for the contract. You know, Michelle King is also a very ambitious owner, and I think there's part of her that looks at Audi Field and says, hey, it's 20,000 seats. We can do better than that. And so the Commander's Stadium, yeah, are they going to sell 65,000 seats for Washington Spirit games? No, they're not. But more than 20,000 is certainly possible as the league and the team grows. So that probably works into her equation. And it certainly gives them a little bit of leverage maybe with DC United saying, hey, you know what? We're going to go into partnership with the Commanders and we're not going to be in partnership with you. So, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, I think it certainly opens up some opportunities for the Spirit. And if not for, you know, all their home matches, maybe, you know, occasional games or international matches at a bigger location with more ticket selling possibilities.
As a season ticket holder for the Spirit, the idea of going to a domed stadium where there's air conditioning in August, let's say, that sounds great to me. I'm sure knowing what the press box is like at Audi Field, I'm sure that sounds great to you too for any Spirit games that you want to cover. It's quite toasty in there. Stephen Goff with us, of course, a great soccer reporter working for the Washington Post here on the Hoffman Show. All right, to your typical day job, not the, hey, let's go write a story with Nikki about the Commander's new stadium and the soccer impacts of it part of your job. The U.S. men had about as poor of a build-up period on and off the field as you could think of having going into the Gold Cup. Everything seemed to be going wrong. There was bickering within the Federation. There's bickering between Christian Pulisic, his parents, and former players. Like, it felt like a nightmare, Stephen. And then they made the final. How much damage, like how much, I guess, reputational damage was repaired around the U.S. men's national team a year out from the World Cup? And then also internally, like, did the dynamics change at all as people were like, oh, okay, we won some games here, found a little confidence. Was there any real steps taken, or was it beating a weaker field with some mediocre performances, losing in the final, and everything is actually more so where it was before the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, if the U.S. were at full strength or close to full strength, they would be either the favorite or the second favorite in the Gold Cup. That's been the tradition. They were not at full strength. They weren't even close to full strength. The thought was, they might get to the final. More likely, they'll lose in the semifinals. Canada, who's been on an upswing the last few years. But then Canada got upset in the quarters, and that cleared the pathway a little bit for the U.S. They got through to the final. The best team won the Gold Cup, and that was Mexico. You know, the U.S. gave a decent performance, but the talent level was not high enough to win the Gold Cup. Overall, They did okay. I think they outperformed what we thought how they would perform. I think they showed some good qualities. Most of all, I think in the big picture, they played with heart. They showed that they cared, and that had been an issue over the months, or even over the past year with this team and certainly with some of the bigger names, that the body language wasn't good. They didn't come to each other's defense in tight situations. It just didn't look good. And in this tournament, they fought for each other. They played hard. There was, you can't compensate fully for a void in talent. And in the end, that showed itself because Mexico was the best team. But I think the fundamentals in this team are much better now than they were a few months ago. There are guys who are really committed, really wanted to prove themselves. And Pochettino sent a message, and I think a clear message, by leaving some of these guys, big names, behind, by showing who's in charge, and letting these younger players, for the most part, show what they can do. Some showed well, some didn't. But at least they got the chance. They played hard. And I think as Americans, you know, you want to see a team that gives its all. And in the past, it didn't seem like this team was. This tournament, they did. And I think that's a good step.
So moving towards 2026, what does that mean for the construction of the team when you're selecting from the full complement of talent, but do not want to lose that heart, dedication, and togetherness that drove them to the final of this tournament?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating when they come together again in September for a couple games, a couple friendlies against South Korea and Japan. Who does Pochettino call in? I mean, I think he's going to analyze this Gold Cup and say, look, you know, we didn't play the highest quality opponents in the tournament. We take that into account. These guys didn't perform well. We can't, they're just not good enough. We appreciate the effort they made. We appreciate their availability, but they're just not good enough. There'll be other guys who make the cut, so to speak, and do get called in. I think there'll be a lot of them. And then he has to decide who does he reintegrate from that base of players who did not appear at the Gold Cup for many reasons. Some were injured. Some needed a break. The Pulisic situation wasn't great. You know, does he invite Christian Pulisic back in September? Or does he, you know, play hardball and say, look, you need to make more of a commitment to this program, and until you do, you're not being invited back. So this is all part of it, and I'll be fascinated to see come Labor Day or so when he announces that, you know, 23-25-man roster, who is on it. It's going to be an enlightening moment.
For sure, the Pulisic piece, extra fascinating because he is far and away, it seems, the best American player in the pool, and he also, for a long stretch, seemed to be the one carrying the team. And no one else was coming with him. And then now it's like, hey, man, are you going to get on board? And he's like, probably looking around like, wait, I thought I was on board. What does on board mean? So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
And the reality is, they're from this point on, they're going to play much better teams. And this Gold Cup group, you know, they got destroyed by Switzerland in the last tune-up before Gold Cup.
Right.
And yeah, the team was still coming together. But, you know, you're going to play at the World Cup teams that are, you know, 10 times better than a few of the teams you saw at the Gold Cup. So he's going to need to get his more talented players engaged and committed and, reinserted into the lineup and into the roster.
Stephen Goff, writing about it all. Washington Post. You can check his and Nikki's story out on the stadium stuff as well. WashingtonPost.com/sports. Stephen, always great to chat, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Stephen Goff with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, more Commanders, very different region of the Commanders world. On-field nerdiness. You ever wondered why teams go out of shotgun more, and especially in the last decade, than they used to, and what advantages there is to shotgun, but also what advantages may have been lost from going under center? For a team in the Commanders that has used both effectively but is in gun like 90% of the time, seems like a relevant question, and it was asked to us on Take Command. Logan and I answered it. We'll let you hear our answers next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
1 hour from now, Sidney Johnson, Mystics head coach. Had a chance to chat with him after the big win today. 6 o'clock, we get into some more Commanders talk, which also is what we have for you right now. Take command. Oh, Anthony, look at what you look at. What day of the week is it?
Tuesday.
And what time is it?
5:30.
This is what we did during the season. People know this is the time for that thing. It's a Take Command Tuesday. Mailbag edition. I asked the question in the mailbag. In fact, it was two questions that got answered all at once. So without further ado, here's me and Logan from today's fresh new episode of the Take Command Podcast. Take Command Podcast, Mailbag Edition. Craig Hoffman here, Logan Paulson there. We got two questions that go together, Logan, on shotgun versus under center, which obviously a big discussion point in the Commander's offense the last 2 years. The first, part one, if you will, from John, who says, "Hey guys, love the podcast. Have a mailbag question stemming from throwback clips of games I'll watch from time to time. I noticed much more under center snap, straight back, drop back passes rather than throwing from the gun. I know this was the norm 20 plus years ago, but even 10 years ago, it was much more common. Other than marrying the run and pass on play action, are there any perks of straight drop back passing under center rather than the gun, as it seems like under center passing is slowly dying off? Is there anything teams can gain in timing and protection that they may not be as strong from the gun?" So that's part one, shotgun under center passing. Part two, this is from Michael in Monterey. "Hey, Craig, when discussing improvements to Jaden Daniels' game, I only hear about how great he is currently and any improvements would be negligible. While I agree he is a top five quarterback in the league, there's one glaring weakness I'm observing while rewatching these games. He is mostly taking snaps in the shotgun formation. Can you discuss how taking snaps from underneath the center can enhance the offense slash Jaden's skill set, or whether or not this is a conducive strategy to what this offense wants to do? Thanks, Michael." So I would just say up front, I disagree that like Jaden has a weakness in that he is not taking snaps from under center. He has done it. And I also don't even know that, like, we're going to discuss the benefits and drawbacks of gun versus under center. So the idea of it being a weakness, I don't know that I agree with that, but it is a very interesting concept generally, and obviously within the Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury offense, Logan. So with that, preamble out of the way,
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, we could probably talk about this for like 2 hours. Like, this is in the football community, like, this is a big thing. It's not like a huge from a philosophy standpoint, it's interesting what it gives you, right? Yeah. So, like, let's just start with under center, right? You get the ball in the quarterback's hands immediately, right? And he doesn't need to take his eyes off the defense, right? Because he's, like, locked in. The ball's snapping directly into his hands, right? So as I'm taking my drop, I can keep my eyes on the defense. I can keep my eyes on the safety, as opposed to a gun snap where my eyes have to track the football and then reestablish to the defense, right? Like, that's kind of at the core, the simplest thing. Now, then why would you throw the football so much at a gun? If you're under center, you're also closer to the rush, right? And so, like, that has some negative drawbacks too. So, for example, like, if a team is running double A gap pressure, right? Before, you used to be under center and the back used to have to do like a superhuman hero act to like sprint around and dive and like get in front of the way. And now you see a lot of teams just straight check the gun. Like, we'll get in gun, we'll move the back up, and it allows us to get away from the rush a little bit better and allow us to establish the protection principles more clearly. That's like from a drop back passing standpoint. So I think the reason you see the gun stuff isn't so much because of the quarterback. Obviously there's a comfort level because that's the way the college game has gone. But right. I think what you're seeing is like it helps the protection more, right? Because we've already established distance immediately. And so I actually think in some ways, like some quarterbacks will say it's harder because again, they have to take their eyes off the defense, but at it from a passing perspective, to me, those are the pros and cons. And now there is so much more stuff we can talk about here from like a run game standpoint, but like we'll just start with that.
Right. So the other thing I'd be curious to talk to different quarterbacks about is like kind of their ability to take in the pre-snap, right? If you can get the wider view of being back, you know, however many yards if you're in pistol versus regular gun, you know, yards off the line of scrimmage, like, can you just see the field better or can you see it just fine by standing up at the line of scrimmage and kind of taking in that more narrow view? So what does your pre-snap picture look like? And obviously that then plays into the college game stuff, because if you've been taking in a shotgun depth wide pre-snap view your entire life and now you're being asked to change your vantage point, that could have some drawbacks. You might miss some things, may not understand certain things. You know, could you always like go back and then walk up under center? Yeah, but depending on, you know, going back to the last segment, the timing of your offense and all that kind of stuff, that gets complicated. I think the other big thing from gun versus under center is, in terms of drop back passing, the other obvious huge thing here is footwork. Like the timing of 3, 5, 7 step drops with or without a hitch versus the shotgun timing and the complexity and the intricacy of that, I think is much harder under center, or at least it's harder under center. Part of that is the offensive line blocks to expects the quarterback to be a certain place. And if I tell you, you have to try to be 8 yards away from the center. And that's where your pocket, like the center of your pocket, is to set up. And you're just walking. Like you're just a dude and there's not actually a rush. I'm just telling you, you have to like close your eyes and walk 8 yards. Like, could you do it? Or you have to look up and walk 8 yards. You can't count the yard markers on the field. Like trying to guess from, and it's closest to the pin. Like I would rather start 5 yards away than 8 yards away. So like the point being that the length of your steps, the timing of that, not tripping over your own feet. It's just more stuff that can go wrong in the footwork versus shotgun, where it's like, okay, yeah, I have to catch the ball, but then I'm not moving nearly as much. The timing is is a little easier. And where I post up to kind of have my central hub of the pocket is just easier for me and for the offensive line.
Sure. I think that's a great point. I mean, when you're coaching, like as I've coached quarterbacks under center, it's hard. It's very, very hard. It takes a lot of reps. And I think that's something else that I wanted to bring up is like so much of the high school game, so much of the college game is done in the gun. I just think there's a much greater comfort level with being in the gun, like with the footwork, right? Like, you know, there's some technicality to it in terms of, you know, rhythm, or is my plant foot? How do I get to, you know, if it's for timing purposes, is it 3 and a hitch? Is it, you know, there's still some nuance there, but it's definitely not as complicated, right? You could almost survive with a quarterback with very poor footwork from the gun, you know, like, because again, they're so far away from the rush. And to me, that's kind of what it goes back to is when you're dropping, right? You are navigating the rush. You're navigating, getting depth away from the rush. And in the gun, you just have time and distance. And so it makes the margins on footwork less important. Like if you watch those old clips of like, you know, Joe Montana or something like that, working their drop, like it's like a little bit dicey. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to get out of there and get some depth, but now you already
got it. Fast.
Yeah. And so I think that that's a great point. And then I think the other element that I think is important to acknowledge is just like how much flexibility now, because of the college game, you have from the gun. Like you can do a zone read from the gun. You can't really do that under center. Like it plays more like a triple option. It's like a dive and you're running to the edge. You know what I mean? If you're doing it under center, RPOs, you can't really do them from under the gun. You can do like pre-snap reads, things like that. But again, like think about the way offenses are constructed, how they've built in methodologies to make it challenging for the defense. I think about the Miami Dolphins and what they do from the gun. They basically run a version of the single wing. Excuse me, which is from the gun. Like you'll see some of the backfield actions they get to where the quarterback turns his back to the defense, like fakes a jet motion behind him and then turns back and is ready to throw the football off a play action. So they've been able to kind of get some more diverse backfield stuff as well in terms of providing eye candy for the defense that used to just be kind of done under center. But now again, like people are smart. They're trying new stuff. Team speed's gotten better. And so, like, not only does it, I think, help the quarterback with protection, maybe help with visibility, like you alluded to, Craig. It'd be interesting to talk something about that. But I also think you're getting more ways to challenge the defense that are less impactful on the quarterback's body. Because, again, you can do some of that stuff from under center, right? Like, I can run triple option from under center, right? I can run some type of zone read from under center, but that quarterback's going to take a huge shot. Now, from the gun, again, I have time and distance to kind of see the read, make a decision, protect myself if I have to. So again, like that's where I think the gun game has, again, it's changed dramatically, changed the shape of football, but I don't think it's it's essential the same way that it used to be, right? And are there advantages to running under center? Absolutely. We can talk about those in a second, but I do think just look at the way the game shifted. Think about the comfortability of the quarterback. Think about what it does from a protection standpoint. Think about what it does from an RPO and zone read standpoint. Like it just makes sense to be in the gun a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd also be curious to talk to like some older quarterbacks who did a lot more stuff under center. You talk about the eyes dropping to catch the football, which obviously is true. I wonder how many young quarterbacks, like how long into the league do you, well, one, like, you know, I definitely, there's guys that like barely even look down, you know, obviously they can pretty quickly get their eyes up. But also like if you're under center and you're dropping back, are you watching the rush? Like, are your eyes actually up? And how much information are you actually able to take in those initial steps? Because you're behind all these 6'4" offensive linemen, your head's bobbing up and down. Like that's a technique thing. Like, can you, you know, if you play baseball and you track a fly ball in the outfield, like if you're really sprinting, the ability to hold your head steady and track the ball, or if you're tracking a football, right? Like the ability to hold your head steady and get a clear view is really hard at full speed. Well, if you got to bust your butt to get out from under center, and your head might be doing a little bob up and down, like how clear is the picture you're actually seeing of that dropping linebacker or that rotating safety anyway in those first few steps versus like I've caught the ball, my head is steady, like I have my base underneath me in the pocket. So I actually would be curious. Having never played quarterback, I don't have an answer to that, but it is the kind of thing that I would be curious about to talk to. In terms of schematics, though, that's where I think it does get really interesting. And there certainly are a lot of schematics. Like on paper, under center makes a whole lot of sense for a lot of reasons. What are some of the ones that you see offenses maybe losing in this gun heavy environment versus when you came into the league and there still was a ton of under center stuff in the NFL?
And obviously, under center stuff is coming back into vogue slightly with the lighter boxes and things like that. You know, I personally think the sweet spot is pistol. That's just my personal opinion. But what I will say is like your ability to run play action passes and run and get the back downhill. I think that's the other thing. Like the way you coach, you know, like a zone read or even an inside zone from the gun is they got to take three lateral steps, right? The running back does in front of the quarterback. And those three lateral steps are times where I'm not attacking the line of scrimmage. So like, you know, like one of my least favorite things, I understand it's part of the game. I understand it gives you the RPO. It gives you the zone read. It gives you some of these pre-snap bubble looks where we can really stress the defense out. But the thing is, it really makes it hard for the back to like get downhill and read it out. So I think about like a good example is like Derrick Henry, like his first couple of years in Tennessee, a lot of gun runs. I think you see him as an ineffective player. And then as he gets to more under center, more outside zone, more Kyle Shanahanian type stuff, Mike Shanahan type stuff, Kubiak type stuff with the outside zone, where he is in the dot at seven, attacking downhill, one cut runner. Like, I don't care if you get in the way of that dude and his shoulders are square, like he's falling forward for four. So I do think it makes the run game significantly more efficient. Also from the dot, you get more flexibility in terms of the direction of the back, right? So like, for example, in the gun, if the back's standing on my left, like this is something that you're always negotiating as a coach. And when you're watching film, like you should check this out. 9 out of 10 times that ball is going away, right? He has to run across the quarterback to get over there. Now you're starting to see some people diversify where they run across and kind of counter back, or we got a zone read, but the run index shrinks dramatically, right? It's right. Like you can run four runs maybe from the dot, man, shoot, we can run power, counter, inside zone, outside zone, trap, wham, whatever you want from the dot. So I do think it adds a lot of flexibility from run scheme. And then on top of that, like the play action stuff is so much better because the quarterback's turning his back to the defense. The ball is hidden. So now all of a sudden the defense can't disperse the way it needs to in coverage until it knows where the ball is at. And that's why, again, you see some teams now from the pistol or from the gun turning their back to the defense, again, to kind of find some of these wrinkles to kind of simulate the downhill running attack and the advantages it gives you from a play action standpoint. But again, it's not quite as good. So like that's why, to me, from the dot, under center, you get all of this flexibility, right? You get all of this kind of dynamism from a play action standpoint. And that's why I think it's still valuable. And I think, you know, a lot of teams still utilize it.
For sure. And I think that the play action boot game specifically for a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, like if you can get that edge, which it just has to be enough because he's so fast. Like what that gives you as a, you know, okay, worst case scenario, the stuff that we want down the field isn't there and Jaden's out on the edge running with a head of steam. Like, can we get 5 yards and have him scamper out of bounds? Like, that's a successful play. So there's that element. And then I think the final piece that I'll say on this, Logan, is this is also why ball handling is so important. And this is very minutia, you know, kind of skill stuff, but it's really, really important. And you see it when a guy's got it. The way he can manipulate a defense, I think like Lamar is excellent at this and it really accentuates his skill set. Like he will turn his back on the defense and kind of give that, like hide the ball in his stomach, empty hand, handoff, back is totally turned. And when that back that he's fake handing off to is Derrick Henry, if he can get that defense to bite and all of a sudden he sprints out to the outside, Jaden's done some of that stuff too. The ball handling on some of the jet sweep action, like Tua's ball handling is incredible. It's part of what makes that offense sing with him and why they're so bad when anyone else is running it. So is it as important as accuracy? Is it as important as, you know, some of the other quarterback attributes that matter down in, down out? No. But can it be a way to take an offense to the next level and to generate some explosive plays? Yeah, if you can get that fooling of the defense out of the gun in the way that more quarterbacks probably can do based off of just the action in total under center. I think that's another like really, really, really important element. And I know it's something that Cliff and this quarterback room spends a lot of time on in practice during their individual periods.
Yeah. Like you said, and I think the thing is everyone says, oh, well then we have to incorporate, like one of the guys was like, you know, he's not under center, like he's not.
Is that good. A weakness?
Like, yeah, it's not a weakness. I just think you have to problem solve. If you want to be in the gun, you have to problem solve it. I think Miami's a great example. Like they're one of the more fun gun run teams to watch because of how good the ball handling is. There's a lot of trickeration associated to what they do just to get eyes in different directions, and that affects the play action pass. Like we talked about the motion over the top. I mean, they motion over the top. Then, you know, Tua drops his inside hand, hands it to the back underneath. They run counter back the other way. Like it's a spinner, like high school spinner offense. And like, that's awesome that they've been able to cultivate that ball handling. They've invested a lot of time. They've identified the weaknesses of being in the gun and they've helped mitigate that. Right. But I do think like you said, I think Cliff understands there are elements of that to this offense, but that's not the priority. We talked about how it's so important that they play fast and they get into different looks. And then in short yardage situations, I do love that they get under center. And how you alluded to, like, they've been able to run some trick plays and maximize fourth and shorts because of Jaden Daniels' ability to get under center, hand the ball off to the back, or boot, or whatever we're doing. And so there are pros and cons to both. I don't think any of them indicate that Jaden is a good or bad football player. It's just what the direction of the offense is and how they choose to execute it. So I think that's where I'd say, where I kind of come down on it. It's like, yes, there are limitations and positives to both elements, but it doesn't reflect on positive or negative play for the quarterback position.
Right. John, Michael, hope we answered your questions.
Want more from Craig and Logan? Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Why can't people stop comparing Jaden Daniels to RG3, including a fellow contemporary of RG3? We'll get to that coming up. Someone... played at the same time, same position as Robert Griffin III. We'll get to that coming up at 6 o'clock and why I think it's worth bringing up and reminding folks as Jaden is about to enter his second season, but it is not something I think you should worry about. We'll get to that at 6 o'clock. Also, I have a game for Anthony, which I just realized I have not... Well, I think I can still maximize it because there's an audio component, and I never pulled the audio component. But I'll figure it out. I'm a decently smart human being. Beyond that, Anthony, headline, ESPN.com. Oh, and also Sidney Johnson coming up at 6:30. Talked to him after the game today. Great chat with Sidney, the head coach of the Mystics. You'll hear it at 6:30. But headline, ESPN.com in our short segment here for a little bit of fun. I mean, this is not very fun. It's actually very serious, but it's a funny headline. You ready for this?
I am.
Bengals Joe Burrow home burglary altered Batmobile plans.
What in the world?
So remember on Hard Knocks last year, he talked about he was going to buy slash did start the process of buying a $3 million fully functional replica of the Batmobile, a.k.a. I'm sure it's not fully functional because I think the Batmobile has some weaponry on it, and I don't think you can buy it. That's like not street legal. but like it had an engine and you could drive it. So Joe Burrow was eventually going to show up to a game in a Batmobile. You remember that?
I thought he did already.
No, he wore, I think he wore some Batman stuff. I think he dressed up as Batman for Halloween. But he didn't have the full-on Batmobile yet, but he was working on it. Well, you also remember last year that Burrow's house got broken into as a part of that high string or that string of robberies against high-profile athletes.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, really bad, really serious, not trying to make fun of it. It's just a hilarious headline when you put it that way, and everyone's okay, thankfully, so we can laugh about it a little bit now. But Burrow talked about it on The Quarterback Show from Netflix, which dropped today. So if you want to go home and binge-watch Quarterback, you can. But he was like, yeah, my mind was on other things at the time. So he canceled the order and was like, never mind. And Joe Burrow is a no-go on the Batmobile.
No.
I know. Like, I feel really bad. Like, dude got his house broken into. That sucks. He had a relationship that he was in the process of feeling out, I think. I think they were in the just talking phase. Although the social media influencer and model, who he, I believe, is still dating, was at his house and, you know, called the police, and like that's really scary and is a lot to deal with if you're fresh into a relationship or not even into a relationship yet. And like, I think it's easy to make fun because like Joe Burrow's a NFL quarterback and she's a, you know, they're 20 somethings and whatever, but like they're real people. Like celebrities are real people too. And while yes, the depths of their problems can be different and some are very silly and sometimes self-imposed. Like I thought, you know, Burrow had a great quote on it where he's like, you know, my life is very public and I got really comfortable. And, you know, there's some parts of your life that just don't need to be public. And like your house is one of them. And I agree with that. So on a serious note, that really sucks. On a funny note, headline, ESPN.com, home burglary altered Batmobile plans.
They won with the headline, but I'm saddened by the news.
Yeah. Just a bummer. All right, when we get back, why was a former MVP quarterback talking about Jaden Daniels and RG3 in the same sentence?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.